We're going to address this morning a need that every one of us have that the Bible gives us the answer for here in Colossians chapter 3. And by the way, it goes along with our theme that we've established the year of 2025 as well. The theme behind me here, consider one another, with our theme verse of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24. And the truth that the truth that we'll see many passages of Scripture that deal with one another in the Bible. And we're going to get to notice those one of those this morning. Look at verse number 15 of Colossians chapter number 3. The Bible says this, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." We talked about that a little bit last Sunday. "To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Now verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Now, the specific verse that we dealt with last Sunday morning and the verse that we want to continue dealing with today is found in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16. I'm going to read that verse one more time. I'm going to give you some of the same thoughts that I gave you to introduce our message last Sunday real briefly. And then we're going to tell you what God's laid upon my heart here this morning that I hope will be a help to us. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly," verse 16 now, "in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, God is saying to us in verse number 16 that He wants the Word of God to dwell in us. He wants it to dwell in us richly. If you were here with us last Sunday morning, you remember we said the word richly meant abundantly. So God wants the Word of God to dwell in us and affect our lives richly or abundantly. So He wants God's Word to dwell richly in our lives. And He wants us to use the Word of God as our source to be able to teach and admonish one another from His Word. Remember, we said this last week. We were talking about the fact that God says to us that we are to admonish one another. This is one of those one another passages in the Bible. We've already dealt with some of them throughout the course of the early part of this year. And this is one of the other one another passages in the Bible. We are to admonish one another. But we made this statement last Sunday morning. Because of pride that sometimes gets into our hearts, creeps into our hearts, which all of us would have to acknowledge that from time to time we can battle or we can struggle with pride. Sometimes because of pride, our pride causes us to fight against correction and we choose to do what we please instead of what we've perhaps been warned or urged or admonished or exhorted to do. And so we tried to encourage you last week not to let pride stand in the way. And so even though our human flesh wants to fight against it, even though sometimes pride stands in the way, every one of us are in need of being admonished from time to time. We're in need of admonition. That's what the Bible's trying to tell us here. We are to admonish one another because we know there's times when we need it. So we said this last Sunday morning, admonition is necessary for our spiritual growth and it's necessary for our spiritual safety as well. And if we are mature as a Christian, we're going to desire admonition. We will desire to be admonished by one another. And so the Bible tells us that the Word of Christ should dwell in us richly so that we can teach and admonish one another. Now, number one, last Sunday, we took the first part of this verse and we talked about the source of our admonition, because the question that we asked as a springboard into the message last Sunday morning was, how can we effectively admonish one another? If we know that admonition is something that we need, and we know that God is telling us that we are to teach and admonish one another, how can we effectively do that? Number one, last Sunday morning, we said the source of our admonition, and the source of our admonition is the Word of God. So admonition must come from the Word of God. This must be the source that we go to when it comes to admonishing one another or admonition to one another. Now, he says at the very beginning of the verse that we are to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. And then he says, in all wisdom. So as we are letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly or abundantly, it will give us the wisdom that we need. And I would say that we would all be honest with ourselves and say there's times where we need wisdom. We need spiritual wisdom. We need wisdom and counsel and direction from God. Where do we get that? We seek it from His Word, and He gives us the wisdom that we need. So He says, let it dwell in us richly. Now, some ways that we told you last Sunday morning, the Word of God could dwell in us as we hear it, as we read it, as we study it, as we memorize it, as we meditate upon it, as we heed it. So not just hearing it, but living according to the things that you hear as well. And then as we share the Word of God with others as well. Remember, we talked about holding forth the Word of life so that we would share God's Word with one another as well. So number one, the source of our admonition. But how can we effectively admonish one another? I want us to notice number two. And this is going to be the second part of this verse. We are breaking this verse up with these Bible messages that we're going to be preaching. So number one, we said the source of our admonition is as the Word of Christ is dwelling in us, we'll have the wisdom that we need. But number two, I want us to notice this morning in this verse, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16, I believe we notice and recognize number two, the supply of admonition as well. The supply of admonition. Where is admonition supplied from? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's the source of our admonition. But what is the supply? Where does this admonition come from? Notice it says, teaching and admonishing one another. I'd like us to take those two things that God tells us we need to do and challenge ourselves with those two thoughts that God gives us this morning. He says that we are to teach and we are to admonish one another. So as the Word of God dwells in us, here's what this Bible verse is trying to tell us. As the Word of God dwells in our hearts, we can then begin the ministry of teaching and admonishing one another. So I'll say it this way. Remember, this year we're trying to learn how we can consider one another, how we can take the needs of one another in our church and be able to be the one that bears burdens and shows love one to another and admonishes one another. The idea that God is trying to share with us in this verse is that biblical truths, truths that we would find from the Bible as the Word of God is dwelling in us, should be part of our interactions with each other. Biblical truths should be the basis of our interactions with one another. What I'm trying to say is this, it ought to be part of our conversations. It ought to be part of what we are talking about. Now, I know that I have certain topics that somebody could come to me and start talking about where I would want to at great length talk to them about it. You are the same way. You probably have certain topics that somebody could begin to talk to you about and you would say, I'd hang around for a little while to talk about that particular topic. Now, there's probably also topics that every one of us would agree upon, at least personally, that we're not as interested in. And we probably wouldn't stand around and have a lengthy conversation with somebody if they were going to stay on that one topic and that one topic only. But I'll say this, the Bible's trying to tell us that part of our interactions with one another as children of God should be biblical truths, meaning that we should be bringing up the Bible, bringing up the truths of God's Word with our interactions with one another. That's what he's saying here. As the Word of God is dwelling in us, we ought to be teaching and admonishing one another from the Bible truths that we are learning. And as a result of that, what ends up happening? Well, we become better at the things that at the jobs and duties and responsibilities that God has given to us in our lives. Remember, I mentioned this last week. As we are learning what the Bible says about how a spouse ought to treat, how spouses ought to treat each other, we would figure out biblical truths on that and it would make us a better spouse, wouldn't it? When we find out what the Bible says about how we should be, what kind of parent we should be, as those Bible truths are soaked into our heart, it helps us then to be a better parent because we understand what God's Word gives us counsel and direction about with that particular subject or that duty and responsibility that we have. How about children and young people? When they read the Word of God and they find out what kind of a young person God wants them to be, what ways that He would have them respond to their parents, it helps them to be a better child as well. It'll help us to be a better friend. I hope you would agree with that. It'll help you to be a better friend to somebody who may need you to be a friend to them, may need you to instruct them from the Word of God, may need to have you show the biblical truths that you've learned in their life, in your life, excuse me, to them as a friend. How about that we could be a better neighbor? We could be a better neighbor. God wants us to love our neighbors, doesn't He? So we could be a better neighbor. We could be a better boss. We could be a better employee. We could be a better Christian. We could be a better teacher. Whatever it is that God has given to us as a responsibility, as the Word of Christ is dwelling in us and it becomes part of our interactions on a daily basis with one another, it helps us become better at those duties and tasks that God has given to us. So notice, he breaks this down in two ways this morning. And I want to real quickly talk about these two things this morning. Number one, he says that we ought to be teaching. Now look down at the verse one more time. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And he says, teaching. So the first supply of admonition that we have is teaching one with another. We are teaching the word of God. Now what does that word teaching mean in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16? What it means is that we are able to impart instruction. That's what a teacher does. A teacher imparts instruction. It's different than a student. A student is learning the instruction that has been given to them. But a teacher is imparting instruction. I know Miss Dawn's sitting over here and she was a teacher for many years, and some in this building may have taught at some time. I know we've got a lot of Sunday school teachers that are sitting in here as well. What are we doing when we're teaching? We are imparting instruction. Now, specifically, when we are Bible teaching, what are we doing? Well, we're imparting instruction from the greatest book that's ever been written. From the source that we talked about last Sunday morning. Remember, the source of our admonition is the Word of God. So we are imparting instruction from the Word of God, which is our source. We're communicating the truths of the Bible to others in our lives. So God wants us to have this ministry of teaching because he knows that people around us have needs. And so we need to be teaching the Word of God. By the way, and I understand that when I make this statement, you're going to understand already the way I feel about this because of things that are established here in our church. But teaching and instruction, imparting instruction, is not just for adults. We're imparting instruction here in our church to our teenagers. We're imparting instruction to our children as well. So it's not just for adults. God wants us to teach children. God wants us to teach adults as well. Certainly we understand that that children can understand the Word of God. They can understand what they are being taught from the Bible. Now the devil would have us to believe different. The devil would have us believe that a child at a young age wouldn't be able to understand the truths of Scripture. But we believe, according to the Word of God, they can understand the truths of God's Word. And so we're going to impart instruction to children. We're going to impart instruction to teenagers. We're going to do it to adults as well. No matter what area of our, no matter what time of our life we are in, we need to be taught from the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if we would fail to believe that a child can have instruction imparted to them, then why did Jesus use a child as an example of faith? Remember, he called the child over and he said, you've got to come to me and put your faith in me just like a little child would. Why did he use a child as an illustration? Because a child has what we refer to as childlike faith, that they can put their faith in what they are being told. They can trust, they can believe, they can rely upon what is being told to them. As adults, sometimes we get to the place where we feel like we've got the answers. And we don't know that we have to listen to what somebody else says. But just come, he says, as with that childlike faith, believing and putting your trust in me. So we know, according to the Scripture, that a child can have instruction imparted to them as well. So we want to impart instruction. And so that leads me to the next thing that I want to say. What are our goals when it comes to teaching the Word of God? Remember, we all have needs here. We need to be taught from the Word of God. So what are our goals when it comes to teaching the Word of God? Even here in our church, what are the goals behind teaching the Word of God? Well, number one, we already mentioned it. We want to impart instruction, don't we? We want to give instruction to people. Now, notice this with me if you would. Keep your Bible open in the book of Colossians in chapter 3. But would you notice something with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3? Would you take time to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 with a verse that is very, very, very familiar? But it talks to us about how that we are to use the Word of God to impart instruction. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. It says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So let's pause there for a moment. That word inspiration means that it is God-breathed. So God breathed every word of this book that we hold in our hands today. Hope you have a copy of the Bible there in front of you. God breathed every word of this book. Notice what it says next, and is profitable. Now the word profitable, we could really, really, a simple definition would be that this, whatever comes in, whatever we get from this book, every word of it, all Scripture, he says, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Whatever we are able to gain from this book as we read it is for our good. That's what he's saying here. It's profitable. It's for our good. There are some things in our life that are not so profitable. But when you are being taught from the Word of God, it is profitable. Notice what it can instruct you in. Look at this with me if you would. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and then look at what it says at the end, for instruction in righteousness. Now, what do we say was the goal behind our Bible teaching in our church? The goal behind the Bible teaching in our church, because we all need it, the goal behind it is to impart instruction. We're trying to give instruction. What does the Bible say Scripture does? It's profitable for doctrine. By the way, that means what is right for our lives. The Bible's going to teach us what is right for our lives. Then it goes on to use the word reproof. The word reproof there reminds us of things that we are learning from the Scripture that is not okay for our lives or what would be wrong for our lives. So God wants to teach us what is right. God wants to teach us what is wrong. Now we are, everybody in here would be understanding of the fact that there are some things that are in our world around us today that are not okay for our lives. As children of God, there are some things that we ought to stay away from. They are not okay for our lives. God gives us instruction about that. So he tells us what's right, he tells us what's wrong, and then notice the next part of the verse, for correction. Now here's what correction does. Correction gets us to a place where we learn how to get things that are wrong right. That's what correction does. So we learn what's right, and we learn what's wrong, and we learn how to get what is wrong right. We're learning that through correction. Now where do we get that from? From the Word of God. All Scripture, given by inspiration of God, is profitable. It shows us what's right. It shows us what's wrong. It shows us how to get what is wrong right. And then it shows us, the Bible says, instruction in righteousness, meaning it helps us to be able to keep what we have gotten right there in our lives. So it shows us what's wrong, what's right, how to get what's wrong right, and how to keep those things right in our lives. You know, there might be somebody that's even come to the service today, and they would have to be honest enough to say, there's some things that are wrong in my life. There's some things in my life that should not be there. I love the song that we sing that reminds us of what Jesus does for us. The song says that Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. There are some things that may be wrong in your life, but Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. And you know what Jesus does? He gives us instruction from his book, the Bible. And he helps us to understand what's right, what's wrong, how to get what is wrong right, and how to be able to keep it right in our lives as well. So number one, what is our goal of teaching the Word of God? Number one, we want to impart instruction. But number two, I want to encourage you this morning that we also want to instill doctrine. We want to instill doctrine. So why do we teach from the Word of God? Number one, we're trying to give instruction, but number two, we're trying to instill doctrine into our hearts and into our lives, into the lives of believers, into the lives of children of God. Now, I'm going to have you, for the next few moments, look at some verses with me. So would you take your Bible out, have it right there in front of you, and I want to have you look at some verses with me that reminds us of the fact that doctrine is to be instilled in our lives. Would you go to the book of 2 John? Towards the back of our Bibles, we've got the book of Revelation. Right before that, we've got Jude. And right before that, we've got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Would you look at the back of the Bible to 2 John? And I want to read verse number 9. 2 John and verse number 9. And I want to make this statement before I read this verse. When we read this verse, we're going to understand it. Doctrine is important for the life of every Christian. Doctrine is important for every life. You say, what do you mean by doctrine? Well, we're teaching what we believe. We've got to instill doctrine into our lives. We've got to understand what we believe. And it is important to learn doctrine and understand doctrine. Every Christian, it's important for our lives. Look at what the Bible says in 2 John, verse number 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. You know what the Bible's trying to tell us there? A good indicator, again, a good example of the fact that, or a good illustration in our lives, of the fact that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, is that we have doctrine that has been instilled in our hearts and we are following that doctrine. So God's told us what is right for our lives and we're trying to live by that doctrine. So instilling doctrine in our lives is important in the life of every single Christian. Now, on Sunday night, we've been studying the book of Acts. I'll have you turn to Acts chapter 2 for a moment. Acts chapter 2. On Sunday nights, we've been studying through the book of Acts, and the book of Acts has taught us a lot. We've learned a lot. We've made it all the way to Acts chapter number 26 now. We're coming to the end of the book. On Sunday nights, we've been studying through the book of Acts. Again, it's encouraged us. But one of the things that we've established as we've studied through the book of Acts is how God directs and guides and leads in the early church. If you've not studied through the book of Acts, it's an important book to study because it does show us the history of the church, the history of the early church. And by the way, our church is a pattern. As we look at the history of the early church, we're patterning our church. We're making that church as a pattern for our church today as a Baptist church here in the city of Boonesboro. So that's why it's so important to study the history of the early church. Well, notice in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, I want you to notice one of the foundations of the early church. There's a list of a few things that are foundational in the early church. Let's notice what they are. Look with me, if you would, at Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. The Bible says this, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Do you see four foundations of the early church? Four vitally important things that were happening in the early church. What were they? They were being taught doctrine. We need to instill doctrine into our lives. The Bible says that was happening as the preaching and teaching of God's word was taking place in the early church. Then the Bible talks about how they also were fellowshipping. Certainly an important part of our church. We're not dealing with it right now, but an important part of our church is fellowshipping. Then it says in breaking of bread. So there's some times in our church where we partake of the Lord's table, a reminder of what Jesus did for us when his body was broken for us, his blood was shed for us, and we do that. And then another important ingredient is prayer. All of those are so vitally important. They are foundations that we see in the early church. So what should be a foundation of our church? Instilling doctrine through the teaching of the Word of God. So what am I trying to say today? I'm trying to say that we need to know what we believe and why we believe the things we believe. The Bible clearly says that we ought to be able to give an answer of the hope that is within us. We ought to be able to understand what we believe and why we believe the things that we believe. Now, I have a good friend. He's pastoring now. For a long time, he was a youth pastor in the state of Tennessee. And then he was on the road as an evangelist for a time. He's been here at our church before, Brother Kirk Copeland. He's been here several times at our church. Now he's pastoring in the state of Alabama. And he wrote a book while he was a youth pastor. And it was specifically geared towards teenagers. And I'm going to say a thought to our teenagers that are sitting in here this morning. The idea behind this book, and I'm not going to get the title right. There's no way I'm going to say this right off the top of my head. But he wrote a book that talked about two young people. It was specifically written for teenagers so that they could get a grasp on what they believe that they would find in the Word of God. He was giving them challenges in this book, and he was encouraging them to believe what they believe, not just because your parents believe it, but because you in your own life know what you believe and why you believe what you believe. This thought this morning about doctrine and instilling doctrine in the hearts of those that hear the Word of God applies to even our teenagers that are sitting in here today. You need to know, teenagers, what you believe. And you need to know why you believe what you believe from the Word of God. Can I say this? Some might ask the question at this point, well, why is this so important? Why is it so important that I know what I believe and why I believe the things that I believe? Because as you are on this earth today, you're going to be fed a lot of lies, aren't you? And so the great thing about understanding what God's Word says and knowing what you believe and why you believe it, it will help you to understand the difference between the truth and a lie. Oh, you're going to be fed a lot of lies in this world that we live in. But if you instill doctrine in your heart from the Word of God, it will help you to understand the difference between the truth and a lie. Notice with me, if you would, the book of Titus. Would you go to the book of Titus quickly? Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 9. Titus chapter 1 And verse number 9, the Bible says this, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Here's what he's saying. As a church, we ought to unite together around the truths of the Word of God, and we ought to understand the doctrines of the Word of God so that we can stand firm in what we believe. Now, we need to do it as a church, but we need to do it as individuals as well. Remember, we mentioned the teenagers just a moment ago. Teenagers should know what they believe. They should know why they believe what they believe. Adults, you should know what you believe and why you believe the things that you believe so that you can stand firm as a believer. And as a church, as a body of Christ, we're united around the truth and the doctrine of the Word of God. Isn't that exactly what the Bible tells us is true of a local church? It says it is a verse we memorized. We memorized this verse. That the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. This place that we are worshiping God in here today should be a beacon of truth. We should know what the Bible says and know what we believe and why we believe the things that we believe, and we should be able to know how to share those truths, the truths of the Word of God, with others as well, because he says we're to teach one another. We're to be teaching one another. Why is it so important to teach one another? Because it's a need that we have, that we would be imparted instruction and we would have doctrine that's instilled in our lives. Now, back to Colossians chapter 3. Number one, we said that the supply of this admonition, number one, is teaching. But the second supply, God says, is that we are to be admonishing one another. Notice back to the verse again, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Now, the source is the Word of God. But then the supply that we have is, number one, through the teaching of the Word of God. But then number two, from the admonition of others that are around us. Now, remember last Sunday, we gave you a definition of the word admonition. We gave you a definition of the word admonishing. All right, so what does it mean to admonish someone? What does it mean when it says we are to be admonishing one another? It's the idea of a warning that is given. By the way, what is the reason why we give warnings? Because we realize that if somebody responds with wrong behavior or a wrong choice or a wrong decision, there would be consequences that they would have to face. Remember, we gave the illustration even last week of a little baby or a little child that would be in a house. We've taught them from the very beginning, you don't touch the hot stove, right? Or if there's a plate that comes off the stove or a pan that comes off the stove, you're going to make sure you keep your hands away from that, right? We're going to give a warning. Don't put your fingers in the electrical outlet that's on the wall. Don't cross the street without looking both ways. And we could go on and on and on with illustrations that we have given where we are warning, right? Because we realize that a wrong choice will result in consequences. And so that's why we're admonished from time to time. By the way, does God know that we need teaching? Yes. Does he know that we need admonition? Yes. He says we're to teach one another. We're to admonish one another. We're to give warnings. We're to reprove. We're to exhort. We're to urge. We're to caution one another. Now, we already talked about teaching. Teaching is so important because we're imparting instruction. We're instilling doctrine. But may I have you this morning consider admonition as really being the negative side of teaching, meaning this, it's the correction that we receive. Now, sometimes it is important for us just to receive instruction. But then other times along the time of our life here on earth, we would have to be honest enough to say that there's some times where we need some correction. We need some warning against things that are sinful and against things that are wrong in our lives. And both of these things that we are talking about both come from the Word of God. So teaching comes from the Word of God, and then admonition, which is, again, the negative side of teaching, or more correction or more warning, seeing things that maybe are in somebody's life that you need to warn them about or urge them about, knowing that consequences will take place if they continue on that road or continue on that route in our lives. These are both vitally important, but they're also both, they both come from the same source, which is the Word of God. So we're taught from the Word of God, but we're also admonished from the Word of God as well. Now, admonition is meant for the purpose of helping. We have to understand that. We have to understand that when somebody is admonishing us, it's for the purpose of helping. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this of friends and their relationship with one another. It encourages us in the book of Proverbs. We won't take time to look there. But in Proverbs chapter 27, it says this, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now, when iron is sharpening iron, it's for the purpose of helping, isn't it? When a friend sharpens the countenance of his friend, what is he doing? He's trying to help that friend. The Bible says it another way in the book of Proverbs. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now listen to that. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Why do we talk about the things that a friend will share with us as being wounds? Because a friend will tell us what we need to hear, won't they? Not necessarily what we want to hear, and as a matter of fact, it may not always even be something that we necessarily are desiring to correct or hear in our lives. But they, as a faithful friend, will wound us from time to time and tell us what we need to hear. And then he goes on to say, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Meaning those that are not true friends are going to tell you just what you want to hear instead of what you need to hear. But if iron sharpens iron and faithful are the wounds of a friend, then what the Bible's trying to tell us then is admonition is something that is for our help. The second thing I'll say about admonition is this. Not only is it for our help, but it's also commanded from God. It's a command that God gives to us. Does Proverbs chapter 3 verse number 16 not sound like a command to you? Does it not sound like a command? He says, we're to teach and admonish one another. It's a command that God gives to us in His Word. And by the way, remember what we said, teaching and admonition, or teaching and admonishing one another, are both coming from the same source, and that source is the Word of God. Now, can I break up two thoughts for you real quick, and we'll finish with this thought about admonition here this morning. Number one, I want you to recognize from Scripture that sometimes admonition is going to come from the pastor in a church. The Bible clearly lays that out, that sometimes warnings and admonition and correction will come right from a pulpit, right from the pastor who preaches the Word of God. Would you take your Bible quickly, keep your place there in Colossians chapter 3, but would you take your Bible quickly and look at 2 Timothy with me? 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And look at how the Bible refers to how a pastor should preach the Word of God. Now you tell me, as you're listening, you won't respond out loud, of course, but in your heart, consider with me, as God's Word teaches us how a pastor ought to preach the Word of God, if this is not God's way of saying, from time to time, you're going to need to admonish. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. Preach the Word. Now, Paul is telling Timothy, his young son in the faith, that you have a responsibility as a pastor to provide admonition as part of your ministry. So as a pastor, you need to do this. So in the church, sometimes it'll be important for the pastor to give admonition. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Notice he uses some words, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So here's what he's saying. In the church, from time to time, as a pastor, admonition has to take place. It's one of the responsibilities of a pastor to provide admonition as part of his ministry. Sometimes it'll be done corporately, meaning in a service like this as a whole. Sometimes it'll be done personally. Sometimes it's done privately. Sometimes it's done publicly. And we see Scripture on all of those things when it comes to the need and the responsibility of providing admonition. But the point is, in Scripture, the Bible tells us as leaders, from time to time, we have to admonish individuals. Maybe perhaps there's an attitude that is hindering the work of God. Maybe perhaps there is conduct in the life of somebody that is hindering and becoming detrimental to the work of God. So the Bible says those things ought to be at times addressed from the pastor and from the preaching of the Word of God. And by the way, as we talk about that, Scripture very clearly teaches us that we are to teach the whole counsel of God anyway. So as we are preaching the entire Bible, those things will be addressed in the preaching of God's word anyway, won't it? So number one, sometimes the pastor has to do that. But sometimes it even becomes part of church relationships, doesn't it? This is where God is trying to encourage us to admonish one another. Sometimes it's not just the pastor. But sometimes from time to time we would just say, I'm going to be a friend. I'm going to try to sharpen iron. I'm going to try to, as the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. I'm going to try to be a friend that tries to admonish somebody, help them, encourage them, instruct them. And then, by the way, sometimes that'll happen in the life of the person who gave the admonition as well. They'll be admonished from time to time as well, won't they? That's God's way of saying relationships in the church are to try to help one another. Let's prove it quickly. Look with me, if you would, at the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 quickly and verse number 15. The Bible says this. I'm sorry, verse number 14. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 14, it says this. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, we don't want anybody to be tossed to and fro. We don't want anybody to get to a place where they're not being taught from the Word of God or instructed as they should be. We don't want anybody to get to this place where it gets them off track as a child of God. So, what does the Bible say we should do? Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. And then notice the end of the verse. May grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. As we speak the truth in love, what are we doing? We are helping one another. Now, we have to speak the truth in love. That's the key. We speak it in love, but we're helping one another grow spiritually in our lives so that there's spiritual maturity. So from time to time, the pastor has to do it. But from time to time, it ought to be that church, in our church relationships, this is taking place as well, that we are admonishing one another. So number one, we said that admonishing has to take place in the church, sometimes through the pastor, sometimes through relationships that are found in the church. But the second place that the Bible teaches us that admonition has to take place is in the home. And I want you to notice this real quick. If you're in the book of Ephesians, would you just turn over quickly to Ephesians chapter number 6? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. So the Bible tells us, number one, that admonition has to take place in the church through the pastor, through the relationships of those that are a part of the body of Christ. We're to admonish one another. We're to teach one another, admonish one another. But the Bible also clearly tells us that admonition ought to take place in the home as well, in the family. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. And ye fathers, he's talking to fathers here. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, before we would go on any further, I don't want anybody that's sitting here today to think that just because he's addressing fathers, then that would mean that a lady or a mother would get out of these duties. I believe he specifically tells us that the responsibility rests upon the father. He's the one that has to fulfill this duty and this responsibility. But he's talking about parents as a whole here, really. That they are to, the Bible says, to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You see that word there? Admonishing has to take place in the home as well. So it takes place in the church. We're teaching and admonishing one another, but it takes place in the home as well. We're to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So this is a parent's biblical responsibility. It is a responsibility that falls on the parents as they are raising their children. It is their biblical responsibility. Now, may we ask God as parents, I'm speaking as a parent this morning, may we ask God to make us strong when it comes to admonition in our homes, that we would be admonishing our children and raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means it's going to require us to set some guidelines in our homes. It's going to require us to set some guidelines. If we're going to nurture, bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it'll require some guidelines. It'll require some guidelines with entertainment. Now listen, in our homes, every form of entertainment should not be allowed. There should be some guidelines, right? By the way, in our lives as Christians, that's true as well. But certainly, as we're raising children in our homes, every form of entertainment should not be allowed. There should be some guidelines, shouldn't there? And God's saying, if you're going to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, there should be some guidelines with entertainment. There should be some guidelines with friends. There should be some guidelines with activities that we would do as a family. With our clothing, our dress, the way we appear. There should be some guidelines there. There should be some guidelines with our responsibilities and things that we need to fulfill as far as our duties and our responsibilities. Teaching children how to work and making sure there's guidelines with that. Guidelines with spiritual things as well. One of the guidelines is we're going to make sure the Word of God is important in our homes. We're going to make sure that when the doors of God's house are open, we're here. We're making sure that we're bringing our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, serving God together as a family as well. And parents, I'm speaking from being a parent as well. I'm not asking you just to establish guidelines. I'm asking you to hold firm on those guidelines that have been set as well. That we would establish some guidelines and we would hold firm on those and not get to a place where we're lazy about these things or we use the excuse of just being oblivious to the things that are going on around us or become apathetic with this. Don't ever fear hurting feelings when it comes to raising children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but that we would set guidelines and we would say we're going to take God's word for what it says and raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So what have we seen in Scripture today? And we're going to bring our message to a close. We've seen from Scripture today about admonition that it is part of a biblical and a healthy relationship. If you want your relationships to be biblical and you want them to be healthy, the Bible says teaching ought to be involved and admonishing one another should be involved. Part of a healthy and a biblical relationship is this idea of admonition. So as Christians, we need to have the courage to admonish one another. But notice how the Bible teaches us that we are to admonish one another. We're to do it lovingly, and we're also to do it from the Word of God as our source. So we're not to just say, well, I'll tell you, I'll admonish that person by giving them a piece of my mind. No, that's not what God's saying. God's not saying that we're to admonish somebody by telling them what we think they need to hear from our own wisdom. Or our own counsel. But we're to do it lovingly. And the Bible says we're to do it with the Word of God as our source. And I'll close my message by asking you two questions this morning when it comes to admonition in your life. Number one, how do you receive admonition? If there's some times when you're being taught, you're being instructed, you're being given or instilling doctrine in your life, how do you receive those things? But how do you receive admonition? And then the second question I'll ask you is this, how do you respond to it? See, we can receive admonition, but then after we've received it, there's also the step of responding to it as well. In your life, as you receive admonition, do you become annoyed by it? Man, that just bothered me that somebody would come up and say that to me. Does it rub you the wrong way when you've received admonition from somebody? Do you have this attitude where you say, well, I don't really care what they say because I'm going to do it my own way anyway? Do you have that kind of an idea or that kind of an attitude or that kind of a heart? Do you turn a deaf ear from it? You know, the Bible says we can be hearers of the word but not doers. So do you turn a deaf ear to it? Are you too proud to receive it? You know, the Bible tells us that there are some ways that we can receive counsel and instruction. There's some ways that we can respond to it. And the Bible says as we receive counsel and wisdom and instruction, we're to respond to it the right way. Do you get to a place where you fail to heed to it and it leads to harm and destruction in your life? Because the Bible says that is exactly what will take place when you refuse to heed the instruction that's given to us. Imagine again, as a little child was given the instruction, don't touch the hot stove, don't touch the outlet, don't walk across that street. We gave you those illustrations, and they don't heed that. It leads to their harm, doesn't it? It leads to their hurt. It leads to their destruction, perhaps. Certainly not something we would desire from somebody's response. But I would say today it would be wise for us to listen. It would be wise for us to heed instruction. And there are all kinds of verses. I was going to give some of these to you this morning. For sake of time, I won't. But there's all kinds of scripture in the book of Proverbs. I'd ask you just to be encouraged by the book of Proverbs. Maybe a book that you could read in days to come as you are considering this subject that we're talking about instruction and teaching and admonition. There's ways that the Bible tells us we should respond to it, and there's ways that the Bible tells us we should not respond to it that will lead to our harm and our hurt and our destruction. So I would encourage you to take the instruction that's given to you from the Word of God. Lovingly, I trust, given to you from the Word of God. And to listen to that. Heed that. Do it with a humble heart. Do it with open ears. Not this idea, I'm going to do things my own way. But to take instruction that's given to you. The greatest instruction that you can ever have that's given to you is the fact that Jesus lovingly died for you so that you could have an opportunity to go to heaven. And I would encourage you today that if you've never heeded that instruction, you've never called upon Him to be your Savior, that you would do that even today. And then as a child of God, that you would consider how God's spoken to your heart about this message this morning. How am I heeding instruction? How am I taking the admonition that has been given to me? And then as you're maturing as a Christian, as you're growing as a child of God, that you can even ask God to help you as you're dwelling in the Word of God to be one of those ones that is teaching and admonishing one another, giving instruction from the Word of God, knowing what you believe and why you believe it and passing that on to somebody else. May God help us to admonish one another and to receive this correction and the instruction that we receive with open ears, listening and heeding what we've heard, the instruction that's been given. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God this morning. And I thank you, Lord, for drawing our attention to the Scripture that teaches us how we are to teach and admonish one another.